Welcome to the Drama Teacher Podcast, brought to you by Theater Folk, the Drama Teacher Resource Company. I'm Lindsay Price. Hello. I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. This is episode 185, and you can find any links to this episode in the show notes, which are at theaterfolk.com/episode185. All right. Are you ready for this one? I am so ready to share this one with you. Okay, so little backstory. Here at Theater Folk, at Theater Folk Global Headquarters, in the official catalog of plays, why would we have an unofficial one? I don't know. But in our catalog of plays, we have a play called Anonymous, which we've had for a number of years. And the play is about anonymity. And to that end, the playwright decided that they wanted to be anonymous too. So it's the play Anonymous by Anonymous. That was what the playwright wanted, and to kind of go with the theme and just keep it all about that whole concept of someone trying to, a teenager trying to get out of that box of being a face in the crowd and being an individual. And there's a link to Anonymous in the show notes, and I'm also going to talk about it a bit after the conversation. And of course, we respected that. There's no problem with that whatsoever. Well, this year, a student decided he really wanted to do this play. His teacher didn't want to do it, though. So he chose this play, and then he had to convince his teacher to let him direct the play. And then he went on and did some pretty amazing things with it. I won't share them all. I can't tell everything up front, right? Otherwise, why would you listen to the conversation? So that experience, he contacted us and let us know. And then he said he wanted to speak to the playwright, which this person had never done because Anonymous. But that conversation led the ball rolling to this podcast and this very moment and a couple of other things, which you will hear about. And again, I can't tell you everything. We got to get to the conversation, man. So we're going to talk to the playwright first, and then we're going to talk to Kyle, the student director, and you're going to get a play from two different perspectives. From the playwriting side, the playwright has also directed the piece, so from that perspective, and then from the student side and the student experience approaching a play. So let's get to it. Hello, everybody. Okay, so usually the first thing I do when I introduce a podcast is I ask the podcast guest to, or I say, first of all, I say their name, and then I say, where are you in the world? And this one's just going to be a little bit different. We're going to say who the person I'm talking to is, but just in a little bit. So first of all, I'm going to just say, hi.
Hi, Theater Folk.
Hello. And second of all, are you tell people where you are in the world.
I am in North Bay, Ontario, Canada.
Yes. Canada rocks. Do you guys still have a lot of snow? You must have snow.
We do have quite a bit of snow, but it's also been a rainy kind of winter.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of ice, a little bit of snow. It's truly Canadian this time of year.
Oh,
yeah.
There's nothing funner than riding on a road that has been rain and now is ice.
Yeah, we've had, I think, in the last 2 weeks, something like 3 or 4 snow days. So a lot of people would probably be jealous of our situation at the moment.
Well, not until I know what it is. It's that you have the snow days, and then it's when you have to make it up and the weather's nice.
Absolutely. Exactly.
So we have a play in our catalog, and it is called Anonymous. And for the longest time, the playwright has requested that the name of the playwright remain Anonymous. And of course, I am speaking to that playwright who is here on the podcast with me. And so the first thing I want to know before we get into about who you are and what you do, let's just start with this play Anonymous and why you wrote it and why was it important that you not be associated with it.
Okay. So
why did you write it? I know, it's a
Why
big
did
one.
I write it? All right. So it was probably at a time when I thought I felt like there were certain messages that a lot of teenagers felt, that a lot of teenagers could relate to, that everybody kind of had a story, every as we all do, but that there were some sort of similarities amongst teenagers that, often feel alone and feel isolated within their own sort of selves. And then, at some point they build that support group, they build those close friend bonds, and realize, that they're not alone, that we all have our stories, that it's just a matter of time to find those people who we feel comfortable to share it with. And so that was kind of the main driving force, that I sort of had some of those kind of things batting around in my head a lot.
And so then, and then connecting to that, why? Because I know that when you directed it, first of all, that you didn't associate your name with it then either. And just why did you think that it was important that the playwright remain anonymous at that time?
Well, and it's interesting, I chose partly because in the script itself, none of the characters have names. We used pronouns for everyone. So the main characters are me and you and her and she, and that, the group of all those other characters were them. And sometimes that's maybe how we all feel, that it's me versus them. But it just sort of made sense to talk about generalities, all of us as them. And so at the time it made sense that I would stay anonymous. There's themes of anonymity throughout the play. So the title obviously came to be, and then it just made sense that I would keep names off of it, to remain anonymous, to keep that me, you, her, she, and then the script anonymous was written anonymously.
It's sort of the complete package of it, right? It's like that it's just the focus on the script rather than anywhere else, and the story that the script is trying to tell.
Right. I mean, the main character is, as many of us can relate to, we have some way of expressing ourselves. So it might be through writing a play. It might be in the scripts, in the play's main character. She's a visual artist. She's able to paint and to draw and to express who she is through some sort of art form. But she goes through a long stretch of trying to figure out, does she want to share her art? It is an art that you can just keep to yourself, and to share it meant, giving up a little bit more of who she was. And obviously in the script itself, that builds some of the conflict of her story. But all of us can relate to having some sort of art form that we use maybe to express ourselves. And I think I was clearly using playwriting as my way of expressing, just like my character at the same time was using her visual art.
So part two of this interview, this particular podcast has two parts where we are we're talking to the playwright, and then I'm also gonna talk to a student director of Anonymous, and who had a really amazing journey, but full spoiler, hang on for that. But that he wanted to, after his experience with the play, he wanted to be put in touch with the playwright. And so you and I, we had a kind of conversation about whether or not that we would do that, which then led to a conversation about, well, is it time for this play to no longer be anonymous? And you decided yes. How come, and why did you decide that?
Well, I mean, it's partly the message of the play. Here I am, expressing myself through some sort of piece of artwork, sharing it with other people. And I was doing that, but I really wasn't in some ways. I wasn't connected to it. I mean, I'm very connected to it, but I wasn't connected to it in that way that when you share a piece of art, especially theater, where you're having a collaborative kind of experience with your audience, you're having this obvious experience with, in this particular case, a student-directed piece with, working with his peers. It feels like if they're willing to kind of put themselves out there and to own who they are and their story, that maybe it's right for anonymous to take off the mask, so to speak, to stop being so anonymous about it all.
Well, then I'm going to call you by name. So I am now speaking to Allison Green. Hello, Allison.
Hello, Lindsay. Hello.
and Allison, please tell everybody what you do for a living.
So I now am a high school drama teacher in Northern Ontario. So I travel from North Bay down to my fantastic high school, Almaguin Highland Secondary School in South River. So we are far in the north. I'm a high school drama teacher. I have, though, had a life before teaching. I was a theater designer, stage manager, and I dabbled in some playwriting.
And how long have you been in education? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been almost 12 years now that I've been teaching. I moved up back home to up north. I grew up here, but I moved back north almost exactly when Anonymous was published, actually. So it's been almost 10 years of living back up here and being a full-time teacher. Before that, I was, you know, kind of doing the theater thing, traveling with plays, and I worked in Berlin for a stretch. I worked in Toronto, obviously, but now I've settled down as a high school teacher here in the north.
And what is it about, after all of that, all of that experiences, what is it about teaching and teaching drama that really speaks to you?
I think it's, for me, I mean, I really, maybe every teacher says, you know, that they love working with kids, but for me, it's actually challenging kids. I like to, you know, give kids a space to really push themselves and to share their ideas, to share their voices. And there's no better place for that for me than in a drama classroom, where I can, you know, put some kids into situations where they can feel empathy and they can solve problems while working together. And I don't think that there's a better job for me than to push kids in that way, to help inspire kids that way. And then I also get the benefits of, you know, a fairly strong voice in my rather small school. I have a really creative atmosphere. Though we're a small rural school in Northern Ontario, our kids are, you know, want to be in the arts and they want to succeed in sports, and they're doing all of it. And I kind of got really lucky with that kind of school.
Yeah, I've done a couple of workshops at Allison's school, and I would say that's the thing that always struck me was the brightness, like just like real, it was a really engaging, your group is really engaged, you know?
Yeah, they are. And I think maybe in some ways, you know, as much as we can look at small rural schools all across Canada, frankly, at the idea of, we sometimes feel really alone, right? I'm one drama teacher in that school. I don't have, you know, another associate to work with, which is often the case, I think, for drama teachers across Canada. But here,
it's everywhere, you know.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot.
Yeah, you're all by yourself. But at least for me, I have these kids who are so open-minded and they want to try stuff, you know, and that's exciting. I mean, I get paid for that, which is pretty sweet.
And so not only we had this experience with Anonymous, with the student director, but you also decided to, this is the perfect timing. It's the perfect timing for all of this. But you also decided to return to Anonymous, and you directed it this year.
I am. I'm in the process of directing it again, actually. So I did it the first time, and I've changed my whole sense of style with it this time. So yeah, I'm doing it a second time now.
So how is it coming to life for you? And just theatrically, how are you staging it?
This time it is absolutely bare bones, which, you know, I think a lot of theater folk stuff, really, we, you know, drama teachers sometimes need to have that freedom. And so this time I've decided to go with nothing on stage. So I think we're using something like eight, maybe 10 stools in the play, and then we're doing everything physically. So there's a scene with a teeter-totter in it. There's a square dance in the play, and I'm just going all physical with it, which has been a real challenge because I am obviously connected to the words of the play. And so to kind of accentuate all those words that mean so much to me, and these characters that I love, with all movement has been really refreshing. It gives me, in some ways, a proof that you don't need a whole lot. If you've got a pretty good story and you've got kids willing to take some chances, they'll try it, you know, and they've been really excited about it.
So just because this is something that comes up a lot, so we'll just do a teeny
Yeah.
tiny tangent, just because on the nature of getting students to explore physicality and how sometimes with teenagers that is a that's a tough thing to do. So how are you encouraging your students to take those risks with physical action?
You know, I'm finding it really interesting. Over the last few years, I've focused a little bit more on physical movement. In fact, with some of my grade 9 and 10 classes, instead of starting with my voice unit or, you know, I've been really focusing on a physical kind of team building. And I don't know if it's because kids, in some ways, are super connected while not being connected at all physically. So there's this. They don't mind it if you give them a safe kind of starting place. So I've been doing things with just simply with Anonymous. I've done simple things like, you know, without anything, could you guys create the feeling of what a teeter-totter is, for example? And then, you know, I put them in a group of about six maybe, and it's amazing to watch them. They'll first start to be like, oh, okay, and they'll figure out what that shape might look like. And then I say, concentrate on the movement of what that feels like. And so then all of a sudden you start getting these actors who are very quick to just sort of say, I'll pick you up. You know, and you're like, I'm like, oh, okay, as long as we're safely picking each other up, I'm not going to stop you. And they go for it, which I don't know if it's just suddenly giving them the opportunity for having a safe space with a safe group. You know, we would do all the original team building stuff first. And then, yeah, I'm letting them explore it in very abstract kind of ways. And they've developed some stuff that I'm glad that they developed them because it could have been a stumbling block for me as a director.
Well, that sounds, I love that. Well, you really hit on the nail on the head. It's if they feel safe, then it's that whole notion of creativity, right? You need the actual the like the if there are barriers, they can actually do more interesting things, which sounds weird, but it's safety lends itself to.
Yeah, if you set up the right, yeah, absolutely. If you set up the right boundaries and the right sort of like these are the parameters that we're going to work in, and then just let them have they like to push the boundaries, right? That's certainly what kids like to do. But if you give them the safe boundary that they can go towards, yeah, I'm finding that they're not balking. They're not balking.
So you have had so in doing this play another time, what is sort of other than being really connected to it, what has struck you about the response? Like, do you find that 12 years later, are students sort of still in the same spot? Are they or have they gotten have we gotten past this or you know, are we all feeling anonymous?
It's fascinating, you know, the scenes that the kids love, and you know, you'll always find that a cast will love certain scenes that sometimes completely surprise you. What I'm loving is that they're loving the same scenes. You know, they might be liking, I find my group at the moment anyway, and I can't speak for everybody, but at least this particular group, I'm finding the girls are much more willing to take on saying that this is who we are, that we're going to share in this. There's a scene about being every teenage girl, you know, and what do girls think when they're in gym class, for example. And I'm finding those girls are coming out very, very strong, which that might be a little bit of a difference, and yet it might just be the confidence maybe has changed in the last, decade or so. The first time, I think they all knew the message. They were all thinking it and feeling it, but now they're owning it. They're owning it a lot more. They also seem to like the some of the more poetic pieces. I'm finding that they like to play around with words and poetry a little bit more this time, which might be, I don't know exactly what that's about. It might be more of a consciousness and just the experience of hearing and seeing more spoken word. Like they have more access to that maybe than, 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe, but the scenes that they love are still the scenes that they love. The, every kid going into a gym class has certain feelings, going into a guidance counselor appointment, liking a boy or a girl. I think those are universal.
Well, it doesn't change either.
No.
No, because that's the question I get all the time is like, well, how can you write for high school? It's like, because I remember what it felt like and that never changes.
No, it really doesn't. It really doesn't. And I'm constantly saying, as a teacher, and I think all of us do this, I'm constantly saying, oh, I know I'm the old lady in the room, but this is how it was. And they go, oh yeah, miss, it's the same. It's the same.
So, and so as we wrap this up here, so you've had a lot of people this time around try and get the, because when you've been directing it and it's been anonymous and people have been asking you, who wrote this play and how does that feel this time around to sort of have that questioning or that maybe you want to say, or I know you told the adjudicator that it was you.
Yeah, I did. And part of it just seems to make sense. It's just right. It happens all the time with the kids that I'm working with. They obviously want to know. I think it's just because they like to know a secret, maybe. But yeah, I'm getting it from adults too. So I don't know if it's more of a sense of people wanting to know a big secret. But for me, it's just a curiosity thing. And I've struggled with it lately where people have asked or, our student with such great success wanted to speak to me. And it was a great feeling to be able to share the fact that he felt a certain way about the play and really wanted to tell the person who wrote it that it meant something. And that was a great eye-opening kind of moment. And then, yeah, the exact same week, an adjudicator who had just been reading the script asked me if I knew who had written it. And so, yeah, I let them know that that for not very much longer, I'd be staying anonymous, but that, he could know that it was me. And it's different, it's different to talk about a play that you can just say that you love, or you can say that it's meant a whole lot to me, as a writer as well.
Yeah. Well, now we have to have like the conversation where we go, all right, is Allison Green going on the anonymous? Is that going to be on the cover now? You're going to get a copy of Anonymous with Allison Green on it.
Oh gosh. I never have even thought of it. Cause of course I have the copies of it, which are anonymous. Wow. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. That's fun. That's fun to think about though, isn't it?
Well, so you think about that and then you can, you let us know if you want to change that over.
Wow. So there'd be like two editions.
There would
basically.
Be two editions.
So someone could have the anonymous,
yes.
And then the Allison Green anonymous. Wow. Yeah.
That's exciting. So, I have to say too, because you were in Among Friends and Clutter, right? In high school.
I was. Yes. I was in Among Friends and Clutter in grade like 11, I think.
Like you were Joanne. I think you were. Like, so we're talking, I think that, I think you were in one of the first other productions other than the one that I did, like in 90. Blah, blah,
yeah.
Blah.
Yeah, it would be the mid-90s. Yeah.
Yeah. So so I have so we've gone back a long we've gone back a ways and it's been a real treat to it's been a real pleasure to have this conversation with you and just sort of like this plays in our catalog because we love it, so that and to be able to share it and also to be able to share that I think it is a good time to sort of come out and say, it's Allison Green. Allison Green wrote Anonymous.
Yeah, it's mine. It's mine.
Awesome. Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Oh, thanks for chatting with me. It's been great.
Okay, so now I am speaking with Kyle Vincent. Hello, Kyle.
Hello.
So tell everybody where in the world you are.
I am from Paragould, Arkansas.
Awesome. Nice, nice. Okay, so we're talking about Anonymous. So first of all, you've had an amazing journey with this show, I think. Do you think so too?
Oh, I would have to agree.
Very cool. And not only did you student direct this play, not only did you win state with your, or no, you, yeah, you won state with your play. And you also got a ton of scholarship money. I think that's wonderful.
Yes, over $72,000.
That's amazing. I saw it was for directing and set design. Is that what your intention is for college?
I think I'm going to major in theater studies, so that'll kind of cover it all.
Very cool. That's awesome. Okay, so let's go. So that's the end. We have told the end, but now we have to go back to the beginning. So talk about why you chose this play. Why did it speak to you?
Well, how I ran across this play, it was kind of an accident. We were thinking about what we were going to do next, because the one before we did Anonymous, we did Emotional Baggage.
Oh, very nice.
So I was just kind of scrolling through Theater Folk, because that's where we had found Emotional Baggage, and I found Anonymous, and I read their perusal, and I loved it because I had a few personal connections with, like, I could relate to this show. And originally I wanted Miss Dahl to direct it, our theater director, and I wanted to perform in it, but she absolutely hated the show when I first showed it to her. And so we went over the summer, and I kept bugging her about it, and I had to work a summer show, and I did lighting design for Beauty and the Beast for our community theater, and she was up there, and I asked her, Miss Dahl, I still think we should really do Anonymous. And she goes, you think so? I said, yeah. She goes, well, why don't you just direct it? And so that's how I got to direct Anonymous.
Have you ever directed before?
I have not.
That was a pretty big thing she put in your lap then.
Yes.
So she says, there's two ways to go with that, right? Either she says you direct and you go, oh, no, 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 I don't want to do that. But she says you direct and you go, okay, I'm going to take that challenge. So what made you take that challenge?
Because I felt like there was a certain way that I wanted it done. And so if I were to perform in it, I wouldn't be able to have that vision. And so I wanted to be able to, so she gave me the power to direct it. Or the opportunity to direct it, so I could put my vision and how I felt the story should be conveyed, and that's why I took the challenge of directing.
Well, see, you're talking like a director. Anytime you use the word vision, I think that is the key to directing a show and being a director, is that you got to have something that a manner in which you're going to interpret the script. So, what was your vision for Anonymous?
My vision for Anonymous, it's hard to put into words. It's very plain. Everything. My vision for Anonymous was to just stick with the theme of anonymity, because the characters are me, you, her, she, and a chorus of characters make up them, and they're all high school students. And so my costume choices were to have them in white button-up, black tie, black skirt and pants or pants. And we just kept a very simple set. Everything was done with benches. So that would have been the lunchroom, the classrooms. And then we had the park. And then we also did these really cool things with lighting. I was also the lighting designer. I love lighting, but we got to do these things where it's like you're in our leading character's mind, and she's, everything that everyone's saying is kind of going through her mind, and so she's pulled out by the spotlight, and everyone is circling around her, like all these thoughts are just flying through her head from what everyone is saying in school.
That sounds very visual.
Yes.
No, that's good. I think that that's important. You know, like we're, you know, sometimes, and this is a, it was interesting. So I was talking about the, to the playwright. It's very interesting because I was talking to the playwright about the script and about how she just directed it and it became very, she's very attached to the words, but the physicality and the visualness of the script is what she focused on this time. So it's really interesting to hear you sort of hone in on the same thing, like that the importance of visually telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how was it working with your peers? Like, so you're, I always find it's an interesting thing when you're a student director is that, cause you're one of them, but you were also in charge.
It was nice being the troop president to start out with.
Oh, so you're kind of in charge already.
Yeah. So, but I was still really nervous about casting cause I don't like people being mad at me. I'm a people pleaser, but since I had what I wanted everything to be like ahead of time in my head, it made it so much easier to cast. It just, when I was watching people audition, it just, everything just kind of fell into place. Luckily for me, it made that casting decision fairly easy. There's always a few that you're just like, oh, they could be good. And then, but then you just finally make out a list and you stick with it. And I'm very happy with the choices I made in casting, but one of the most difficult things for me was keeping everybody's attention and getting everybody to rehearsals at the same time. That was one of my big pet peeves.
Did you have a stage manager to kind of help wrangle them?
No.
Ah, see, there you go. There you go for next time. It's like, that's the stage manager's job so that you can kind of like, you know, kind of hang back a little bit. You make them do all the wrangling.
So, that would be really nice.
For sure. So I think that it's very clear that you had that vision. You know how you wanted, you know, like the set, the scenery to look, and the costumes to look, and the character and the actors to be. And sometimes things don't always work out with plan as you're moving through the rehearsal process. And how did you deal with that? Did anything come up where it didn't go the way that you had pictured or visioned in your head?
Didn't go the way I pictured it in my head.
Maybe it all went the way that you pictured it in your head.
I was really pleased with how the show came out as a whole, but there were a few weird spots. That we had this classroom scene, we'd go back to where they were in kindergarten almost, and to show the passage of time, more dads would come up for parent day and talk about their careers, and so the main classroom would go off and these dads would just walk into a spotlight, and one of our notes at state competition was spotlight dads, why? And so I think I'm going to have to take them out.
Well, because you always want to have, it's always going to be purposeful, right? Like whatever,
yes.
You know, and it's whether it's lighting or set or costume, whatever. And it, as long as it's purposeful, then you can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. I like that though. Spotlight dads. Why? So how long did you work on it?
Oh, before prelims, we had about four or five weeks, I believe. No. I had about 6 weeks.
Did you feel that was enough time?
Oh, starting out, it felt like it was plenty of time. And then the day of prelims, we showed up at 6 o'clock at our school to run through it one more time because we finally had everyone there. And so that really, I was on edge.
Well, because it's like, did you mean 6 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock at night, like right before your show?
6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh man. Yes, this is the only time everybody can be together at 6 a.m.
Oh man.
I'm sure everybody was really happy about that, but hey, that's what you got to do. Hey, that's what you got to do. That's what you have to do.
I gave them a schedule at the very beginning, and people still didn't show up, and that's what we had to do in the end.
Hey man, that's what you got to do. Like if you want, you know, if you want, you want it to work, then it's like, look, you're not gonna show up on my time. You're gonna show up when I say. So your teacher, who didn't like the show when she first read it, what was her response after seeing how you brought it to life?
She really liked the connection that I had with the show, and that's why she later she told me that that's why she went ahead let me direct this. And then she just the show slowly started growing on it, and she liked seeing what I did with it and how far I went with it. Because she would just kind of, she would give me the keys to our auditorium and just let me go out there and do our thing. And then she didn't see it until pretty much week of prelims.
First of all, that's very trusting. I think that's great that she was able to take something that, even if she didn't like it, again, just seeing your connection, I think that's pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you did prelims. So how did you, and so you, how many levels? Did you just go to state, or did you do a preliminary performance and succeeded in that, and then you went to state?
Yeah, prelims is the first thing that we really do as a troupe function, because everything else is school oriented. And then, so our one act prelims is where we go to compete to either showcase or compete at state. And we've never done either of those. So this year, when we performed Anonymous, first of all, it was really on edge because we were right at the 45-minute mark, and we had to cut one scene and go straight to the end, and that got us right to the 45-minute mark. And so we'd almost went over time, but then we got all superiors and the highest scores from prelims. And then, so that was made us eligible to showcase at state and compete at state to represent the state of Arkansas in one act competition.
How did that feel? How did that feel to going for a troupe that you've never done this before to reach a height like that?
It still doesn't feel real, honestly. Like all this stuff, we've come this far, and it's still, I'm just like, has this happened? I mean, is this really because of the show that I directed, of what we are a part of right now? It's very surreal, I'd have to say. And I don't know. It's really hard to describe.
No, for sure. Because it's like, well, it's nothing you've ever experienced before.
Mm-hmm. For our troupe, I kind of trying to instill something. Leave a legacy. And so that was just really cool to me about how far we've come. And when I set that leave a legacy at the very beginning of the year.
Well, I think that's a good thing. And then that's an important thing, because that's something that can actually, you know, for every subsequent, you know, troop members as they come in and as they leave, you know, that's something you can always do. You can always mm-hmm. leave a legacy. So you guys are you going to internationals? You're going to International Thespian Festival?
Yes, International Thespian Festival. We competed at state, and we competed against two other schools to go and compete and represent the state of Arkansas at One Act Festival, or at International Thespian Festival.
Have you ever been to that festival before?
No, only two people from Greene County Tech have ever been to International Thespian Festival. People from Paragould, I believe.
It's amazing. It's just like when you go, you just soak everything in, because there is any type of workshop that you could want to take. There's the shows are some of them are just like they are mind blowing in like all the technical, particularly if you're a tech and set guy. Make sure go see all those shows and just watch what happens. Like it's going to be, I think it's going to be a really great experience. Show aside, like I think it's wonderful that the show is going to be there. And I have fingers, cause like we go as well. So I'm like, oh, I hope that the show is I hope you guys are at a time that we can actually come and we can see it too. I can't wait to see it.
I hope you guys come and get to see it too.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So as we wrap this up, what piece of advice would you give to any other student director? Like, what is a good thing that, what's the good thing that you learned about being a student director that you'd like to pass on?
First of all, once they would have a cast set, be sure the cast knows what the student director expects from the cast, to where there's no goofing off in between scenes when you're trying to give them information, because that was one of my big problems, and I'm still having to find out new ways to overcome that. But I think if you set certain goals, and you really can't joke around with them that much, because then that's like, okay, it's okay to talk now. So you just kind of gotta be a straight shooter, I think. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
It totally makes sense. It's like, well, it's that whole notion of they're your friends, they're your peers, but you're also in charge. It's, I think, saying it that way, that you always have to be the one in charge.
Yes. And then before all of that, I would say have a connection with the story. I believe that you can, like, whatever script you pick up, you can have, like, it doesn't have to be a personal connection, just a way that, not necessarily connection, there's a word I'm looking for. Have a passion for the story you're trying to convey. So the,
I think that's it. You don't want to direct something that you, first of all, it takes so long.
Yes.
You know, you got to have a connection. You have to have a passion to communicate something, right? Because it's all theater's got is communicating to an audience. It's not just, you know, you guys putting on a play in a room. You're putting on a play for an audience. So mm-hmm. that means there's got to be something you passionately want to communicate, if that makes sense.
Yes, yeah.
Cool. Well, I got to say, Kyle, congratulations on this experience. I mean, it's what an amazing, you know, end to your journey to have advocated for this play and then to be able to see it through to the International Thespian Festival. I think that is amazing. And to be able to take this experience and to have gotten some scholarships to continue your journey, I think that's amazing. And I'm sure it's impossible to it's hard to put into words. As you said, it's hard to all put this experience into words.
Thank you very much. It's been a great experience. I'm really thankful that I was just scrolling through Theater Folk and found Anonymous.
Yeah, me too. That's awesome. All right. Thank you very much, Kyle.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Allison and Kyle. Oh, that's kind of cool. So they now get to say your name. Yay! Before we go, let's do some Theater Folk news. And we've been talking about Anonymous, so I wanted to share with you a little more about the play Anonymous, which you can find in our show notes, theaterfolk.com/episode185, or of course, you can just go to theaterfolk.com. So in this play, it's about stories. We all have our stories. We have things that are new, things that have always been with us, stories that are complete, and stories that we haven't even told yet. Anonymous is the story of every teenager, the new kid trying to fit in, best friends, love interests, the kid in the corner with their secret, the group of individuals each trying to belong. The teenagers of Anonymous have no names. They are me and you and them. They are everyone. And now we know that while the playwright was also Anonymous, now we know she is drama teacher Allison Green, longtime friend to Theater Folk. It was great talking to her, and you can get Allison's play at theaterfolk.com. I think it's such a lovely piece. I think any time when we can theatricalize, trying to step away from the crowd to learn to be an individual, and to learn to be yourself, I think that is has a lot of value. So theaterfolk.com, click on our show notes, theaterfolk.com/episode185. listen, are you doing one of our plays? Are you doing Anonymous like Kyle did? Well, we want to see a picture. We want to hear about your experience. You have rehearsal videos, 30 seconds, not too long. Show us what's going on in rehearsal in the classroom. We want to brag about you. We want to put together a production feature on you. We want to share your experience. Not only to let everyone know what an amazing job you are doing, but also how you approach a play is of really, it's a lot of value to someone else who might pick up the play and want to do it as well. So all you need to do is send that info to us at tfolk@theaterfolk.com. Finally, where oh where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every second Tuesday at theaterfolk.com and in our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk and on the Stitcher app. You can also subscribe to the Drama Teacher Podcast on iTunes. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.